Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast today. Today is Thursday, May 21st, 2020, less than a month away to the official start of the summer season. I hope today is going to be a good day for you. On the broadcast today, I want to focus in on the person of Christ and how Christianity has elevated the status of women. This is a very important, it's an immensely important topic today. The reason I want to share this with you today is because almost, I think, about 8 years ago, when I began this outreach to Iran, I have been a voice for women's rights in Iran and the Middle East. But the premier person that established the kingdom of God and brought relief to oppressed women was Jesus. And I want to talk about that subject this morning. In Muslim-majority countries, it's a horror gallery. You read almost every day how women are treated under Islamic Sharia law, the brutality, the acid attacks, the oppression, the deaths. It just reads that way almost every day. And so it has been my goal and my passion to present to the women in the Middle East an alternative to the violence, to the oppression that they're dealing with. And I find in my research that many Muslim women leave Islam after they read about Jesus in the gospel and how he treated women in his day during his ministry. This morning I'm going to be reading from my book, Broken Yet Beautiful, Rising Up from Their Ashes. This book was written almost a year and a half ago, and it's dedicated to women rising up and finding their place in the body of Christ, teaching and pastoring in God's church. There should be no male hierarchy, no discrimination against women. And since our role model is Christ, pastors, committees, church government today should never let gender stand in the way of women being responsible teachers and pastors in the church. In this book, Broken Yet Beautiful, I bring to mind how women are treated in the Middle East. I go through the specific scriptures in this book in a response to the traditional texts that are used to say that women cannot pastor and be leaders in the church today because of their gender, as somehow God has put a restriction on that. I go out of my way in this book, Broken Yet Beautiful, to show that that is not the case. If you want to read more about this important, vital topic, you can go up on Amazon, Randy L. Noble, N-O-B-L-E, and request the book, Broken Yet Beautiful, with the subtitle, rising up from their ashes. Well, let's get right to the topic today. I'm reading from chapter 3 in my book, and I begin with a quote from a well-known author from his book, How Christianity Changed the World. Alvin Schmidt writes, "The extremely low status that the Greek, Roman, and Jewish woman had for centuries was radically affected by the appearance of Jesus Christ. His actions and teachings raised the status of women to new heights, often to the consternation and dismay of his friends and enemies. By word and deed, Jesus went against the ancient, taken-for-granted beliefs and practices that define women as socially, intellectually, and spiritually inferior." So Alvin Schmidt is pointing out that when Christ arrived on the scene in history, especially in the Jewish context, he radically changed their status, which were once known as socially, intellectually, and spiritually inferior. And one of the texts in this chapter that I cite from the book of Psalms is what we're going to begin our study today with. And this speaks to the oppressed heart. There's a promise there in Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14. God says he will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and needy, and he will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to him. We see God is interested, that his heart beats with compassion for the poor who cry to him day and night, to the oppressed with no one that defends them, for the weak and needy who needs deliverance. God promises he will redeem them from oppression and violence. Why? Because their lives are precious to him. God understands the pain and sufferings of humanity because he left his royal throne in heaven and clothed himself in human flesh. He became one of us, and he suffered immensely in body, soul, and spirit on a wooden cross for our salvation. So that whole point I'm making is that God is not a distant, faraway deity, but rather God is a personal, loving, compassionate God who promises one day in eternity to, quote, wipe all tears from our eyes and abolish all pain, suffering, and death forever. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. At the perfect time, God stepped out of eternity and became a human being in Jesus Christ. The great event of this incarnation was God entering into humanity for the purpose of delivering us from the pain and guilt of sin and restoring us from our brokenness to beauty once again. For centuries, women had suffered under the yoke of oppression and discrimination, and now God himself was going to come into humanity and rescue them from the slime and the filth of gender abuse. There is much slime, filth, and gender abuse yet today. And as I am sharing with you this morning, you will see that the pastors, the administrators, the church government officials need to remember the model and the example that Jesus left for us in the way he treated women and rid the church today of the male dominance, of the male hierarchy, and the gender discrimination. When God took on flesh and arrived on the human scene, Jesus was a man of great humility and compassion. And as the God of justice, Jesus confronted the evils of discrimination and racism that had enslaved women for far too long. Jesus came to announce the arrival of the kingdom of God. And in this kingdom, mark this, there would be no oppression, discrimination, or racism permitted in God's kingdom. But instead, there would be compassion, equality, and genuine kindness that once had filled the paradise of Eden. Jesus has come to liberate women from the chains of gender abuse and restore them once again to their dignity and worth as image bearers of God. We need to look, though, at how this happened when Jesus came on the scene. We need to understand something of the context of the view of the women in the culture of Jesus' day. Women were treated as second-class citizens by the religious establishment. Here's a quote that puts this all in perspective. The oral law of Jesus' day, here's what it said: let the words of the law be burned rather than committed to women. The woman, says the law, is in all things inferior to man. Let her accordingly be submissive. This was Jewish law at the time of Christ. I'm citing from the Apion, chapter 2, verse 2:10. Now, the Thanksgiving prayer of a Jew at the time that Jesus arrived on the scene, in that culture, here's what the prayer was. Praised be to God that he has not created me a Gentile. Praised be to God that he created me not a woman. This was the average Thanksgiving prayer of a Jewish scribe, a Jewish religious leader at the time of Christ. A rabbi considered it beneath his dignity to speak in public to a woman. This was the mood of the Jewish religious culture, and it was very hostile to the average woman. It was into this culture that Jesus came to restore the value, dignity, and worth of a woman. I want you to mark this chapter in your Bible, if you haven't, and underline it. It's so important to show how Jesus dealt with the gender discrimination and abuse of women. We're going to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 3 through 11. In this chapter, the Bible unveils a heated scenario between the Pharisees and scribes concerning a woman caught in the act of adultery. You're very familiar with this story. You know what happens. The religious leaders immediately bring the woman to Jesus, and they do this to test him. Important. To the religious leaders, the woman was really merely property owned by her husband, and her vile act had brought disgrace upon him. Now, they bring this woman to test Jesus for a reason. They want to expose him. They want to malign his name. Now, what's interesting in this account of the woman caught in adultery, and perhaps it's deliberate, that the man is not there. There was a man also caught in these events. Where was he? He was conveniently missing. Why hadn't he been brought to be stoned along with the woman? It is also worth pointing out that the religious leaders were really, in this scenario, they weren't interested in upholding God's moral law. They were instead intent on exposing Jesus as a false prophet and discredit him. The adulterous woman had become their perfect propaganda tool to confront and discredit the Son of God. Filled with passionate rage, they looked Jesus in the eyes and asked the question, "Will you have her stoned as the law required?" Now, the religious leaders were referencing Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 23 through 30, which prescribes stoning for the woman and the man caught in the act of adultery. Now, keep in mind, the religious leaders had devised an elaborate scheme to expose Jesus as a false prophet. The woman was just their propaganda tool. If Jesus agreed with the law in favor of the woman being stoned, their thinking was then they would point out that he was betraying his reputation among the crowds as being so compassionate. If, however, he spared the woman's life, they would cry out that he was disobeying the law of Moses and was therefore most certainly a false prophet. Damned if you do, and damned if you don't. The religious leaders were convinced they had cornered Jesus into an impossible trap to escape from. Well, Jesus knows the intent of their deceitful hearts. So what does he do? He bends down and begins writing with his finger in the sand. Now, theologians have debated for centuries, what was Jesus writing in the sand? Is it possible that he was writing down the individual sins of the religious leaders? Well, maybe, but however, there is a pertinent passage in the book of Jeremiah that is more likely referring to what Jesus was writing, a passage that speaks of God's judgment upon a rebellious religious establishment. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 13 declares, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountains of living waters. Now, what has this to do with what Jesus is writing? Well, the text he was writing should literally read this: those who turn aside from my ways will have their names written in the dust and blotted out. Well, in writing in the dust with his finger, Jesus was instead pointing the accusing finger of judgment upon the corrupt religious leaders. You have to see this. He's writing in the sand. They have stones in their hand, ready to stone this adulterous woman. After he's finished, Jesus stood up and in a precise and confrontational tone pointed his finger of judgment at them, exposing and instead their hypocrisy. And you know the words, famous quote by Jesus, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. Wow. He had turned the situation right back on them. They were unprepared for this statement. So with this confronting declaration, Jesus forever silenced the mouths of the religious elite. They were unprepared for this heart-piercing confrontation. Their hypocrisy had been exposed, and one by one, they let the stones fall from their hands and departed. No, Jesus was not being soft on the law of Moses whatsoever. But what was happening here was not only exposing hypocrisy, but was bringing mercy and salvation to this woman. It's one of the most beautiful scenes in all of the Bible. The adulterous woman was left alone with Jesus, and no doubt she was still shaking with fear and anxiety. And what does Jesus do? Jesus, to this woman, shows tenderness, respect, and compassion. Yes, she had just sinned. Yes, she was guilty, but so are all of us. The law speaks out against all of us as condemned. And what does Jesus do? He treats this woman with great value instead of condemning her for her sin. The religious leaders had treated this woman as damaged goods with malicious contempt. They used her as a propaganda tool against Jesus. But instead, the Son of God reached out and showed her mercy. He showed respect first by acting contrary to the rabbinic code of that day. He spoke to her and he said this, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And the woman meekly replies, no one, Lord. And listen to these words of Jesus to this woman. Neither do I condemn you, Jesus reassured her. Go and from now on, sin no more. This is a beautiful illustration of the compassion and respect that Jesus demonstrated toward women. He confronted the abusive religious leaders. He exposed their hypocritical hearts and stood in defense of this adulterous woman. Well, again, I'm saying to you, Jesus didn't deny that she had sinned. But instead of condemnation, he extended grace and mercy toward her. You know, when I read about the horrific stories on the internet of Muslim crowds stoning women to death in Middle Eastern countries like Pakistan, for instance, engaging in honor killings, I immediately think of this beautiful account in John's Gospel. I can picture Jesus standing in defense of these helpless women and pointing the accusing finger back at them. That is the religious leader. Jesus is the God of a defender of the honor of women. He refused to align himself with the false rabbinic code of his day and instead lifted women out of the gutters of discrimination, restoring them to their dignity as equal image bearers of God. I want to share also just one last account about women and Jesus. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 20 through 22, I want to read to you this very important scripture. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, for she had said to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I will be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her said, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And instantly, the woman was made well. What is so important about this encounter? Well, this woman was in a hopeless situation. She had been to every physician without any cure, and yet as soon as she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she was miraculously issued and healed. The flow of blood was gone. What is so significant about this account is that according to Leviticus chapter 15, verses 25 through 27, Jewish law had condemned her or declared her ceremonially unclean because of the issue of blood. Jesus, therefore, had allowed her as an unclean woman to touch him. Regardless of her physical condition and what the law said, Jesus displayed his compassion on this hopeless woman. For 12 years, this woman had spent all of her money on doctors without any cure. This beautiful account in Matthew's gospel once again demonstrates the mercy and compassion Jesus had on women. He ignored all of the cultural taboos, putting him at odds with the religious establishment of his day, and instead lifted women up out of the gutters of discrimination. And this is so important, how he stood up against the patriarchal society of his time. I want us now to listen to a very beautiful song from Big Daddy Weave about how women contribute to our kingdom, to the kingdom of God, to the church, with their beautiful offerings. Let's listen to that right now on the cross in the desert.
Take this broken life I bring.
Offering tremendous worship. This morning on the cross in the desert, we have been talking about the contribution of Jesus to the status of women. And my book, Broken Yet Beautiful, Rising Up from Their Ashes, goes into much more detail. You can get that book on Amazon.com. Please share this program with people that need to hear it. This is so important that women are treated with respect and compassion in the church today. God bless you. I will see you again on Monday on the Cross in the Desert. Have an incredible weekend.